Psalm 7, rightly responding to destructive slander. A very formidable trial one can face is destructive slander, for this sin can destroy not only one's reputation, but through destroying the reputation, also his relationships, even his economic welfare, and eventually even his health. David once faced this sin from the man Cush of the tribe of Benjamin, and Psalm 7 reveals how to respond. I'd like to look to God in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you give us to gather together. We understand that we're not only saved by grace, but we get to minister by grace. We get to fellowship with one another, all by the unmerited favor and grace of God. So we look to you this morning, Father, for your involvement and your help through the Spirit of God to understand the Word of God and then to use it and to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll read the psalm and then we'll look at it. This is a Shigayon of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. Those introductory words happen to be the first verse in the Hebrew text, so in the Hebrew Bible there are actually 18 verses, but we're going to stay with the numbering system that we have so that we don't get mixed up in the English Bible. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yes, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yes, let him tread down my life principle upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, and lift thyself up because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about, for their sakes therefore return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and the kidneys. My defense is of God, which saves the upright in heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordains his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Okay, we have to retranslate this in order to understand it. Some of the King's English is very thick, and they didn't have the best manuscripts at the time when the King James was written, so we'll go through this. Verse 1 in the Hebrew text comprises the introductory remarks in the English Bible, but we stay with the numbering system in the English translations for clarification with this lesson. So, David prayed in verse 1 of the English Bible, O Yahweh my Elohim. Yahweh is the name that God uses in reference to his covenant and the covenant that he keeps with his people. Elohim is the name that is used of God in terms of being the creator. So we would say, O Lord my God. He says, O Yahweh my Elohim, in you I seek refuge. Save me from all who persecute me and snatch me away, Nathal. He added, lest he tear my life principle. Nephesh is one's physical and mental and emotional and spiritual being. So David is applying the picture of a lion grabbing an animal and taking it off and ripping it apart and so forth to what this slanderer is doing into his emotions. So lest he tear my life principle like a lion, ripping me in pieces when there is no one to snatch me away. Nasal again is used, the same word that is used snatch in verse 1. So David feels like that he's at the hands of the slanderer who's grabbed him like a lion grabs a little kid or a little sheep and taking it off. And David desperately wants someone to come along like a good shepherd and either slap the lion or strike the lion so that he opens his mouth and then he can grab the sheep and take it away. So that's what David is doing. He's asking for deliverance. And then, verse 3, revealing the issue that David faced with slander, he petitioned, O Yahweh my Elohim, if I have performed this, that this apparently is what he's being charged with, if I have performed it, if I've actually done this, if injustice exists in the palms of my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who is at peace with me and robbed my adversary without cause, then let those who are hostile to me pursue or persecute me, Rodaf again, my life principle, Nepesh again, and overtake me. Let him trample my life principle, Nepesh again, in the ground and cause my honor to lie down in the dust. So apparently the charge that has been made is that David has done evil towards a person who is at peace with him. That evil has been to take advantage of this person in robbing him in some way and making life difficult for him. And David is, of course, in full denial of this. He doesn't believe this at all. Well, David was sure that he was not guilty as charged, so he prayed, arise, O Yahweh, in your anger. Rise up against the outbursts of fury, that's Ebra, of my foes. Awake, my Elohim, that's my Creator God, and decree justice. Let the assembled peoples gather around you, rule over them from on high. So the assembly of the people here is the assembly of everybody, including this man who's going after him, as well as David himself, and he's asking God to judge. Accordingly, David added in verse 8 that Yahweh shall give a verdict on the peoples. Administrate judgment on me, Yahweh, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity. Now, the word judgment here obviously is a more neutral term than what we have in English. When we, especially in religious circles, think of the word judgment, we always think of it in terms of the negative. But a better translation would be the word verdict. Render a verdict in my case. And in this case, the verdict would be exonerating David and judging his foe. So we have to be very careful when we look at the word judgment. It's a neutral term. It means verdict. Then G, confident of vindication, David said, bring an end to the calamity of the wicked and make the righteous established. For the righteous Elohim examines the mind and the kidneys. Now the kidneys is a figure of speech in this context for the emotional structure. The Hebrews did not know what part of the body actually produced the emotions. When you have a very strong emotion, you have butterflies in your stomach. And often the body fluids want to run and so forth, so they figure, well, maybe it has to do with the kidneys. So the kidneys had to do with the emotional structure. So when they use the word kilna, which is kidneys, it means emotional structure in this context. Later, the Jew also refers to the bowels of mercy. The bowels would be the stomach area. Well, when you have butterflies in your stomach because you have a strong emotion, that's in that area. And so the Jews thought that it came from the bowels. They didn't recognize the adrenal glands were involved. So they get very graphic when they're trying to describe emotions and so forth, but we know exactly what they're talking about. So God examines the mind and the emotional structure. And that's very interesting to keep in mind. H, David made several observations from this event in verses 11 to 16. In verse 10, he said, my small, round, handheld warrior shield. A couple of Sundays ago, we discussed this word. There are two shields, magen, and then there's sina. Sina would be a full-body shield that was held by one man. And behind it, a warrior would be slinging his stones or throwing his javelin or whatnot. But that's when you fought the enemy from a distance. When you got into hand-to-hand combat, you didn't use the sina. You had the magen. And the magen was on your right hand, and it'd be on your left hand if you're in your right hand, and then you'd be fighting this way. And that would wield off blows that someone was giving at you in hand-to-hand combat to kill you. So that's a very personal shield. So when David uses the term magen, God is my personal warrior shield. He's protecting me personally from these assaults, the slander that is occurring. And that magen is Elohim, the Most High. who saves those who are straight or right, yashar, in heart. See, his foe is not straight. His foe is not upright. His foe is twisted. He is conniving. He's lying. But David is straight and right, so he's looking to God to vindicate him in this case. Elohim is a righteous judge, and an Elohim who expresses his wrath in judgment daily. And the judgment, therefore, is also a neutral term, his wrath in making verdicts every single day. And then verse 12, if my opponent does not relent, if he doesn't shuv, that means if he doesn't turn or relent, God will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow, like he's getting ready to judge in a way that is negative. Verse 13, and for him he has prepared his weapons of death, his flaming arrows he has prepared. Verse 14, behold, he who is in birth pangs with iniquity and conceives with mischief shall give birth to disappointment or disillusionment. He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit that he has made. His mischief returns on his own head, and on the very crown of his head his violence descends. It's interesting that the word violence here is Hamas. And I wonder if that's the same word that is used in Arabic for the group Hamas. It stands for violence, we don't know. But the point is that God is going to render vengeance. Now, in concluding this psalm of request for divine vengeance and deliverance, David said, I will thank Yahweh for his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of Yahweh the Most High. Isn't it interesting that because he has been unjustly slandered, David comes to have a greater appreciation for the righteousness of God? That's one of the benefits of being wronged. I believe that's one of the reasons why God lets his people sometimes suffer unjust wrongs, because it makes them appreciate all the more righteousness and the righteousness of God. And what that does, it drives us away from sin and it drives us towards wanting to be holy ourselves. We don't want to do that bad thing that that person is doing to us. We never want to do that to someone else because we know how painful that is. So that it causes us to drive to become more righteous even in that area. So when David faced destructive slander, instead of taking his own vengeance on his foe in violation of Scripture, and remember Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And Paul actually cites that in Romans 12, 19 for the church. We should not take our own vengeance either. David sought God's intervention, thus also leaving himself open to God's evaluation of his own mind and his own emotional structure as well as that of his foe, confident that the Lord would deal out justice and deliver him both from the slander and from its destructive intent and effects. It's interesting, one of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, we generally broaden that command to say, thou shalt not lie. And that's certainly included. But the original command is bearing false witness against your neighbor. The false witness is what damages your neighbor because it is slander. Slander is the worst form of evil because the worst form of lying because it does so much damage. And that's why it was made into one of the Ten Commandments. Yes, we shouldn't lie, but certainly not slander. So, application. If facing harmful slander, instead of taking vengeance, may we seek God's intervention by prayer. In doing so, may we examine our own hearts and confess any sin to gain God's help. Psalm 66:18, we're going to cover that in the future. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The word regard there, if I shield, if I harbor sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I've got to get rid of that sin. And how to get rid of it? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even the unrighteousness that we may not even be aware of that is behind the sin. Then number 3, may we, like David, handle our pent-up anger against our foe, not by venting our wrath on him, but in focusing on God's righteous ways of handling the wrongdoer. Now, as David came to express thanksgiving for God's righteousness in this event, verse 17, may we use the experience of being harmfully slandered to appreciate the value of God's righteousness that we may desire all the more to be upright. I don't know if you've ever been slandered, but it's certainly not. I've faced that a couple of times in my life. It's one of the most uncomfortable experiences you can ever face, because if you try to defend yourself, you look suspect, because the slander already does its work, and people are already questioning your credibility and validity and so forth. And what you are forced to do is just depend upon the Lord, because that's the only hope that you have. You can't protect your own integrity or your reputation with others. You have to wait upon the Lord. And the Lord, and what's so beautiful about this, the Lord has a purpose in your life. And that purpose in your life is for you to relate properly to other people and to carry on a ministry and so forth. And if the slander is blocking that ministry and blocking the relationship you have with other people, God has to intervene, because what's happening is the slander is obstructing what he wants to do. So what we need to do is to learn to hide behind the will of God in our lives. We hide behind the will of God and trust the Lord. He always paves the way for us to get back to doing what he wants us to do and relating to the people that he wants us to relate to. So there's a limit as to how far he'll let the slander go. He has a will for our lives, and that's all we need to do is trust the Lord. The worst thing in the world is to take vengeance. And I know it's a tremendous temptation to do so, but that's always destructive. It's always sin. So we need to stay away from that. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson itself. It does not have to be. If there's something else.